All right, welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You can go to Twitter, Twitch, YouTube. Our beautiful faces are available.
That's right.
The hard work of Mac Morenstein and Cody Tappish. We are here. We are back. We are live. Thanks for tuning into the show. We love doing what we do. God, I need a beer. I'm just going to be honest with you, man. I need a 16-ounce Miller High Life. Oh, boy. Right when I got to work, there's a gigantic tree.
Did you see the tree this morning on Squib, right?
Yeah, massive. But I didn't know what your text meant because it just said squirrel down in tree. I'm like, is Bob high?
I was voice texting. I had 85 things going on this morning, right? I got up a little bit earlier today.
Oh, I thought I was on a whole other planet when I got here. I'm like, what? I'm like, is this?
And then I roll up and I'm like, there's this huge tree across.
Huge
tree across Squib Road, right? Which isn't, it's a two-lane street, not a big deal, but the whole tree's there. I'm like,
massive.
Am I seeing this correctly?
Did
right?
you go around it too?
I went around. Once you said that, I was like, yeah, I'll do that.
Did you go? You went around the tree?
Oh, I did. I didn't know what you're. I'm not trying to be a jerk. Yeah. I didn't know what your message meant. I'm like, I don't know what this means.
Well, when I saw Bob's message, I was like, okay, is he making a dad joke? Like the squirrel in the tree? I was like, okay, it's 4 a.m. I just don't have time for this. And then I was like, oh, okay, this is actually a real text.
I voice texted because I'm doing 18 other things and whatnot, right? This morning I was. Yeah. Yes, I don't like not a lot, but I've also gotten to the point where Siri may be the worst invention on earth. Nothing is less efficient than what Siri is. Siri sucks. She can kiss my ass, right?
Oh,
like
Lord.
Siri is worse than the Royals bullpen. Okay, and I think like when you do these voice texts and then you look at 90% of what you mm-hmm. voice text and it's always wrong. So I've gotten to the point now where I'm just sending it. I don't care what it says, and if somebody can figure it out, fine, you can figure it out. But I'm not going through it all because the point of this voice text is to make sure that your eyes on the road and you're doing mm-hmm. all this stuff. Well, she can't get it right. And nobody's ever said ducking and all of this kind of stuff, right? So we're at a point where I rolled up this morning, like a little after 4. Like I said, I got here a little bit earlier today because I had some things I needed to take care of. And, the anxiety starts to set in. The time's not going to be. And all of a sudden, this tree's down, blocking the entire road. Like, there's no way around. I'm like, son of a gun. So I put it in reverse, and I go back, and it's not that big a deal. And I go through the Target parking lot. Mm-hmm. And as we know, it's, quote-unquote, illegal to drive through a parking lot on your way somewhere. And we have had people pulled over by the police. Years ago, we watched it out here in front of the building. One of our sales managers get pulled over and get a ticket for driving through the Target parking lot
because
it's illegal, right?
Yeah.
And technically, it's illegal. Whether you want to debate that or not, it's illegal to drive through a parking lot to get to where. So I roll into the Target parking lot. The only car there is a police officer. I'm like, oh, I'm going to get pinched for this, right? So I roll up and I pull up to the police officer, and she rolls down her window. I said, hey, I just want to let you know there's this tree that's blocking Squib Road. I said, did you know about it? She goes, no, I didn't. Thanks a lot. And she took off, and they're going to go handle that tree. I get here. I talk to some of the folks on the rock. I'm like, you missed the tree? They go, oh, yeah, we were notified ahead of time. I'm like, well, thanks for telling me that.
Yeah, thanks for the message.
Thanks for the memo.
Some interesting NIL angles that have been discussed. Obviously, the kid at Duke, Cooper Flagg. You saw that he had a shoe deal years ago, and now he's going to Duke and will wear those shoes.
Yeah, he's got a New Balance deal. I was out speaking to Leadership Kansas yesterday out at Home Field, which is this great new facility in KCK. I'm sure a lot of parents are familiar with Home Field and what they do and the kind of the academy teams that they have. And they were hosting this panel yesterday, and I had the opportunity to MC it with Leadership Kansas. And I was talking to my man Dustin Lewis, who runs Home Field and has done
great
an amazing
name.
Job out there. It is a great name, right? Lewis.
Dustin.
And so I was talking to Dustin a little bit yesterday about, kind of the NIL stuff and where we're headed and all this stuff. He goes, you realize like kids are now getting NIL deals by themselves. I'm like, oh yeah, I do. I mean, he goes like, look, Cooper Flagg is wearing Nike or New Balance shoes to a Nike school. I'm like, how is that possible? And they're like, well, that's kind of the changing face of the NIL. And we got into some more conversations about it. And we're talking about, these Adidas deals that Kansas has. And Dustin was telling me, he goes, I can see the day. And I totally agree with this. He goes, where these apparel deals are done, where they're not giving the schools these big checks anymore because they've already got the players when they're 15 and 16 and 17 years old, and the shoe companies are going to go now give that NIL money to individual players, thus ending those cash grabs for schools with Adidas and Nike and Under Armour and New Balance because they'll just target the 10 or 12 or 14 players that they want, and go after players that way. And I'm like, oh God, that's going to be a big money, you know, suck from these universities that aren't going to get these, you know, these apparel deals anymore. What Home Field does, which I think is really cool, I'm like, well, what do you guys use here? He's like, we have our own line of clothing. And so that could be where we see these colleges going now, where they're marketing their own merchandise and they're not getting these NIL, not NIL deals, but they're not getting these big shoe contract deals anymore. The changing landscape of college sports, man. Everything that you knew about college sports, you don't know anymore. And it's just drastically changing. And if all of a sudden these apparel deals go away from these colleges, that's a huge, huge chunk of money that's going to be going to the student athletes. And I like that a lot better because I think the student athletes deserve the money more than colleges do. And instead of wasting money on building a new locker room every year or paying coaches and athletic directors millions of dollars, you may have to rethink the way you're going to do things at the collegiate level, and I think it's good. It's time for a shakeup at the collegiate level.
Speaking of a shakeup at the collegiate level, our guy and our team, Dion in Colorado, their numbers are quite down when it comes to ratings because I just saw a number that says at this point last year and to this year, their ratings of TV viewership are down 51%.
That's huge, right? Big drop. That's nobody's paying attention anymore.
If it's like 25, 30%, you're like, eh, maybe somebody was doing, maybe didn't care about the Rocky Mountain Showdown, right? But that game Saturday night, 6:30, you'd think that have some, you know, eyes watching it. Not a lot. No. And they played.
Were you home watching that game?
I was, yeah, of course. Okay. But like, this is one of those things where
Jay Binkley, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. Hey, Don. You know, my thing is that I think it has run stale because I think at first it was like nice and they surprised a lot of people last year. Mm-hmm. And then this year they came back. Now they're 2-1. They play Baylor this week. They're a 1.5 favorite at home.
Right.
But again, I think people have, are realizing they've had enough of it.
Right.
And I will root for Colorado because I love the aspect of Dion. I think it's fun to have villains in sports.
Absolutely.
I think him and Shador are the number one and number two villain. Shador is the number one NIL money maker in college sports, right ahead of Livy Dunn. And his Travis
Hunter should be making more money.
He's third. Yeah. So it's Shador, Dunn, and Hunter are your top three. And then it's like Arch Manning and Quinn Ewers. But I do think that there's something that's caused this, and that is not consistent winning. They are 2-1. They win this week. They're 3-1. And then maybe that's it when it comes to their wins this year in the Big 12. Maybe not.
They have UCF the following week. I didn't know UCF was in the Big 12.
Come on. They've been there the last couple of years. They beat Kansas last year in basketball.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah. They did.
Their first year in the Big 12 at UCF.
You're right.
But I think the thing about this is that if they're going to try to get people back, they've got to prove it to them. And right now they're not doing that because they're beating teams like Colorado State and whoever else they played week one, which was just
North Dakota State.
Yeah, that doesn't do anything for you. Go beat somebody like Baylor's a team that if you beat them, like, yeah, all right, cool. And then they'll play the Jayhawks at Arrowhead here in a couple weeks.
November.
Yeah, so I'll be there for that game for sure. But yeah, I mean, I think I have to admit to it, right? Like being a fan of the Attitude Era in wrestling, there were times where it was like, you know, The Rock would get stale and then it was like a shakeup and you had to do something different, or Stone Cold would get stale. And then he went corporate Stone Cold and joined McMahon, which that documentary is going to be awesome. The Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix. And I do think, you know, that's the reason why the numbers are down is people were like, oh, this was fun, but not anymore.
Well,
it's not.
If you're winning, it's great. Right.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be a grifter like Dion is, you got to go out there and you got to win. You got to find a way to win football games and really, you know,
prove it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to have the bark, you better have the bite. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't had the bite yet. And so they got Baylor this week and then they got UCF after that. And then it's Kansas State, which obviously they're probably going to get housed in that game.
Yeah, 13th ranked team in the nation. You hear that game right here.
You got Arizona, you got Cincinnati, Texas Tech, then Utah, 12th ranked team, Kansas. Who knows what that game's going to be like. And then they finish it out with 14th ranked Oklahoma State. Like, they've got to win some games in the Big 12 for people to stay interested. Otherwise, even Colorado fans are going to be like, all right, what are we doing here? We're just basically paying for Shador Sanders to get millions of dollars and we're not winning any football games. And that's where the NIL is starting, is really going to have the impact, is like when fans start to realize how much money these players are making and they're not giving them the benefit of the doubt anymore. Because no longer are you college athletes. I mean, Dion, you know, said, he goes, everybody's booing these guys now. I'm like, because they're making money. The expectation is there. You're going to produce. People are scratching checks for these guys to get this NIL money. And if they're not winning games, you're like, wait, what the hell am I paying for here? Because everybody just assumes now, because we're early in this, and I totally agree with this statement, if I'm writing a check and we're giving this guy $1 million to come play at our university, there better be wins.
Right.
Yeah. And right now, Colorado's not giving them that ROI that they want.
That's right. In the words of Migos, you got to walk it like you talk it. Coming up on the other side, our chicken strip guy, Ben Maller, joins 96.5 The Fan on the show that we call Fesco and Dusty, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back into Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports on a Thursday. Can you believe it, boys?
Boy, the week is moving, right?
It is moving. It is moving.
Come see me at Hy-Vee at 95th and Antioch, 11-1 today. $10 steak day at Hy-Vee. Steak, potatoes, and green beans for $10.
Green beans, underrated side.
Really?
I think it's underrated. Right. I also love peas.
Peas are good, too. I like the really like darker green peas that, you know, snap.
Yeah. Peas, green beans, Brussels sprouts.
Brussels
broccoli.
Sprouts are really good, too. Oh, yeah. I mean, you cook them in bacon fat.
Mm-hmm.
Why was I raised to think Brussels sprouts sucked? Because I tried them and they're great.
Exactly, yeah, right? Like,
yeah. I grew up thinking salmon sucked. And then I ate salmon like when I was 16. I was like, why are we not supporting this?
Yeah, people tell you stuff like liver and onions. Because I think
that does suck,
yeah, right?
Come like, on.
I've never had liver and I never will have liver. But my friend that I grew up with, we used to go to the shore like once a week and we'd stop and have breakfast every morning, right? Mm. Before we went swimming. And he would always order the liver and onions because it was the most expensive thing at the menu at Perkins. So he would liver an onion at Perkins, and because the only reason he would order it because the most expensive, and he was trying to screw his mother, right?
He's like,
you know what I mean. So like the liver and onions was the most expensive thing on the menu, and he wanted his mother to have to pay for that all the time. So he would order this, never eat it, but every time he would order this damn liver and onions at Perkins.
Okay. Come to Perkins, where you can screw your mother.
That's right.
Anyways, our guy Ben Maller is ready to rock and roll. It is brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Bob Fesco, you and him have had a great relationship. And let's rock into Ben Maller.
Ben Maller, you know, Isaiah Pacheco goes down. Is the season over for Kansas City? Should we all be panicking?
Well, guys, it's good to be on with you again. It's like a throwback to like 1987, 88. The running back. You lose your running back and you're doomed unless... Unless you are not, yeah. So I did a rant on my overnight show the other night. I was like, the Maller scale of concern for the Chiefs running game, 1 to 10. And I was at a 3. And I think I'm high going 3. I think I'm high. I'm like panic mode at 3. Pacheco has both been really good the last couple of years in key spots for them and is easily replaceable. So it's like both those things are simultaneously true for the Chiefs. In fact, I think we'll be talking about that on the TV show this weekend because I'm sure that'll come up because everything, as you said, revolves around the Chiefs and what's going on with them. And it's funny, we had a conversation, guys, and we were talking before the year. I remember Dusty brought it up. If the Chiefs beat the Ravens and the Bengals the first two games, is it all over, right? And they won both those games, but it doesn't feel like it's over. To me, it doesn't feel like it's over. Even though they won those games, they didn't dominate either one of the games. They won, and they won by a toe against the Ravens. You'd much rather obviously be 2-0 than 0-2 or whatever, 1-1. But it doesn't. I don't get the sense like that the Chiefs, even with those wins, it wasn't a statement. It wasn't like, hey, we blew those teams off the field. It wasn't that kind of a start to the year.
So who are you looking at right now then that you're like, okay, maybe they're still around? I know we're two games into the season and everybody's saying who's frauds and who's a surprise team because, yes, you know, we're two games into this thing.
Yeah.
But other than Kansas City on top, who else are you looking at? Is it Buffalo? Is it San Francisco maybe? Like where do you sit with that?
Yeah, well, overall, if you look at the entire NFL, you would say the 49ers, when they've got a bunch of guys out right now, although they are a touchdown favorite against the Rams this weekend, a game that I'll be at. But being realistic here, the Texans, who were in the playoffs last year, but they haven't even looked all that good to begin the year either. I mean, it's like this feeling out process, like a boxing match, and it's even worse now, and we complain about this every year, and yet we fall back into the trap because teams do so little in terms of actual preparation for the regular season. They do like joint practices, and then they don't. So it's like the first couple of weeks, it's like preseason still, and everyone's trying to fill each other out and all that, and figure out what they got and who's disguising things and whatnot. The Lions haven't looked good, but I would say the 49ers are the obvious one in the NFC. And if you just go by the 2 weeks of the regular season, the New Orleans Saints are the number one team in the NFL. The Saints go marching in to the Super Bowl. And where is the Super Bowl being played in 2025? Uh-oh, we got something. Watch out for the Saints.
Yeah, I think it's interesting about how the NFL is, because obviously in baseball right now, we're in panic mode here with our Kansas City Royals, but with the NFL, like, panic mode can hit within the first, I think, 2-3 weeks. And I think you're right the way that you started your segment about how you don't feel like it's over in the AFC. But I mean, you look at Baltimore this week, they got a big one against Dallas, who's also just got the bricks blown off their house by your New Orleans Saints. If in fact Baltimore's 0-3, Ben, I have to think that it is over in Baltimore. And then that leaves the AFC to just be what, Houston, Kansas City, and Buffalo, and we're back to 2018.
Yeah, well, we've already eliminated the Dolphins. They were eliminated before, but now they're definitely eliminated. The Skyler is the limit for the Miami Dolphins. So that's out. I don't see that being Nick Foles 2.0. So you take that off the board. And then, yeah, I mean, you're looking around here and you're like, the Ravens, something's going on with Lamar Jackson. And I'm not sure what it is. He's tied. I saw this fun fact that blew me away. Lamar Jackson is tied for the most bad throws in the NFL, most inaccurate throws. He's tied with Bryce Young, who just got benched in Carolina. Like, he's been all over the place, and yet the Ravens have still had chances to win both the games that they played. They blew the lead against the Raiders last week. And their defense, though, has been gouged. I don't look at the Ravens right now as a legit contender. Obviously, they're 0-2, and I do think they're going to lose to the Cowboys on Sunday, so they'll be 0-3, and then it's total panic at the disco for Harbaugh and for Lamar Jackson. But Lamar lost some weight thinking he was going to be lean and mean and all that, and he's been lean, but he has not been mean so far for the Ravens. And there's still, obviously, there's a lot of road to go down and whatnot. There'll be some other teams that emerge. The Chargers are a wild card team because they do have Harbaugh. They're running the ball. He said he was going to run the ball a lot. They're running the ball almost, I think it was, I saw the stat, roughly 60% of the Chargers' yardage has come from the running game. So he's actually walking the walk. He didn't just say that. They're trying to become a physical team. And those type of teams do well in the playoffs. So that's a team to keep an eye on. But I don't take Pittsburgh seriously because they don't have a quarterback. And some of these other teams that are off the 2-0 starts, I look at them as total frauds.
Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio here on 96.5 The Fan, and you mentioned Bryce Young, and that's a situation where I don't think he's a very good quarterback, but I also don't think he's been set up for success by the organizations. I think sometimes we do throw away these quarterbacks, and we look at it, we go, well, the organization had 4 head coaches, 6 offensive coordinators in his first 2 years. How is anybody supposed to have success? Is this on the Carolina Panthers, or is this on the player?
Yeah, so this is a pet peeve of mine, Bob, that everyone's giving a mulligan to Bryce Young. Like, he's got no culpability in this, and this drives me nuts. I agree with you. It is dysfunction junction down Tobacco Road. I get that. I totally get that. And David Tepper, he apparently very good with a hedge fund, but not good with a football team. Fine. I understand. But Bryce Young has shown you nothing. Like, you got to even all of those coaches, they got a bunch of all of them were hired to make him look good. And nobody has been able to make Bryce Young look like he knows what he's doing playing quarterback. It looks like he won a contest to play quarterback in the NFL. He looks too small, like he's overmatched. I mean, it's like he won a raffle and he's out there playing quarterback. So, like, I would agree that it's all the team if he had shown some flashes, but he hasn't even done that. And I fell down a rabbit hole on YouTube. I was watching some clips of him the first couple games of the year, and there were guys open, and he was checking down. It was so ridiculous. The Chargers, great job by Jim Harbaugh, they knew he was just going to check down. So they were defending the check down, and there were guys open. He wouldn't even throw the ball to him. He was looking to the check down as his first option. It was a debacle, an absolute debacle.
Who do you think's the MVP front runner right now? Because I am interested. I think when you look at the league, I think the quarterbacks that pop up on the leading passer, it's like, am I in like in a simulation where it's Kyler Murray and Darnold and Derek Carr? But I feel like yeah. right now in the AFC, it's got to be what, Josh Allen? Am I wrong on that, or do we just keep praising Derek Carr?
No, I think the rule is, I don't know if you got the talking points memo, Dusty, is that we have to kiss the Saints tookus is what we have to do because they, those are the names. I am not a big fan of Kyler Alligator Arms Murray, as I call him, but he did play very well. He absolutely torched the Rams, had a perfect day against the Rams last week. But Derek Carr and the Saints, the way they've absolutely blown the doors off everybody, he's at the top. And I would say Buffalo with Josh Allen, the one-man band there, pretty impressive. The problem with the Bills every year is once the weather turns nasty, Josh Allen's numbers go in the toilet. So he's got to get off to a great start every year because once the weather turns sideways, his performance goes down. That's been the problem for the Bills for years when they've had good quarterbacks. It doesn't matter how good you are. It's very hard to win an MVP there because your numbers go down because of the weather.
Talking with Ben Maller of Fox Sports Radio, and you know, you mentioned the Rams, and they're off to an awful start from an injury situation. There's been rumors of potentially trading Matthew Stafford. Should the Dolphins be in on that? Should they look to make a big time trade for a quarterback right now, or just kind of play this whole thing out with Skyler?
No, I would go with it. You're at the tail end of Tyreek Hill's prime, right? I know he just signed an extension, but he's around that age where wide receivers occasionally fall off the map. You've got Jalen Waddle there. You've got the genius X's and O's, you know, boy wonder offensive play caller. I go for it. And if the Rams would trade Matthew Stafford, I don't know how the salary cap stuff would work, but I'm a salary cap truther anyway, so they'd be able to figure that out. So my move, if I'm the Dolphins, I absolutely want to get Matthew Stafford. Why would you not make that move? He is, they call him the kingmaker. With what he's done with wide receivers, Calvin Johnson and Detroit, Cooper Kupp with the Rams, Puka Nacua last year. Can you imagine what this guy would do playing with Waddle and Tyreek Hill? And those guys are already great as it is. Yes, absolutely make that trade. And the Rams, at this point, it's Murphy's Law. Like everything that can go wrong has gone wrong. The whole setup, they've lost two or three offensive linemen, their top two pass catchers, their defense is already gassed, they're out of shape, it's week three. I don't know how it could get much worse for the Rams at this point. And they play the Niners, who blow them away every year. So it's going to get worse before it gets better.
Carolina situation, speaking of alligator arms, I don't believe anything that's coming out of Carolina. I think they are doing their best to – I don't know if you've seen the movie Matilda, but I think they're trying to sell a car to somebody and not telling him the actual like ingredients that's in this busted vehicle when it comes to Bryce Young. I think he's unhappy because he was lied to. I think that system is flawed because you see what Darnold and Baker Mayfield are doing. I don't know where Bryce Young's going to be, but it ain't going to be in Carolina come trade deadline.
I disagree, and here's why. That would be the biggest downfall trade of all time, Dusty. They still have to give a second round pick to the Bears next year. They won't even get, he's not even worth a second round pick at this point. So maybe you get a third round and a conditional pick or something like that. Bryce Young, I know it's only been 18 games, but he has been the definition, the epitome of a suckbag quarterback. So, I think they hold on to him until the offseason and then try to trade him, and they'll make up, you know, they'll plant some stories in the media about how he looks great in practice and he's really come around to the coaching and all that. But you are right with what, when you say you should never trust these coaches. I mean, all the coaches are the same. They're so paranoid. They never give you the real story. Dave Canales, I love that clip of him on Sunday after the game. Oh, yeah, these reps are huge. We need Bryce Young out there. He's going to get better. And then less than 24 hours, they end up getting rid of him. But at this point, the value of Bryce Young, it's like going on Craigslist or OfferUp and saying, all right, it's free outside my house. Come pick it up. You can have your quarterback. There's no real value there. The guy is beaten and broken at this point. So I think they wait till the offseason and then they try to move.
Ben, we enjoy the time every week. We appreciate it. Enjoy watching Aaron Rodgers stand tonight, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys. Thank you.
That's Ben Maller, brought to you by The Landing in Liberty. And Dusty, I want to know, and Mac, I want to know from you in the text line as well, who's on your list of suck bag quarterbacks?
Top two that come to mind are Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson.
I like that. Yeah.
Watson. So, yes.
Who is on your suck bag list or suck bag quarterback list at 913-586-7965? Who makes that list for you? Who's on your list there, Mac?
Gosh, Daniel Jones has got to be
on there, right?
Yeah, gotta be.
Yeah, Daniel Jones, Bryce Young has got to be on that list. Obviously, mm-hmm. That's kind of where it started. I think Caleb Williams is trending towards that list as well, especially I think he gets on that list not listening to CJ Stroud after the game. I don't know who else is on that list. You can fill it in. Joe Burrow maybe makes that list.
Bo Nix, if we're gonna mention Caleb.
Bo Nix, yeah.
No,
yeah.
He's not because of his comments in post game.
Well, the post game does.
He totally redeemed himself.
No, it's true, man. When you're Bo Nix and the media ask you a dumb question and you give a dumb answer, I'm kind of for this guy right now.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
So good.
Drop back, threw it to the other team.
That's it. Perfect. Right there. Yeah.
Just absolutely perfect. People hate the media, and then your media gets hated on, and everybody goes back to the other side.
Yeah, right.
I thought this was kind of hilarious, waking up to see Twitter and sometimes, or X, sometimes we hate the social media world, but sometimes you love it. It's really a love-hate relationship. Tom Pelissero came out with this about 15 hours ago. NFL stat correction with possible fantasy impact in defensive player leagues. Chiefs edge Kyle Loftus was awarded a full sack in last week's win over Cincinnati. So my script is kind of good. Removing a half a sack from defensive tackle Chris Jones. Chris Jones quote tweeted and said, "This is some BS." Hilarious.
That is great. It was a great quote tweet by Chris Jones, which told me big game for Chris Jones. Multiple sacks this week against Atlanta.
So Kelsey has 7 catches for 100 yards and a touchdown, and Chris Jones has 2.5 sacks for a loss and a fumble. Kirk Cousins is a statue, so this would be one of those type of games.
It is that type of game, right? Yeah. Chris Jones going to eat.
And Jones tweeted right after and said, he's like, "George just offered to buy me dinner, so we're good." I was like, "Oh, that's great.
Hey, you want to buy George dinner?"
Yeah, I know, right?
Come on.
$90 million man.
Yeah, what are you doing making the young guy who's on a rookie salary buy you dinner, man? Come on now, Chris.
The other funny tweet, which is one of those, if you can't beat them, join them.
That's right.
Chicago White Sox's Twitter handle, or X handle.
I think they're 4 games away now from being the all-time losingest team in baseball history. You got to lean into that.
How many games? 9?
8 or 9 left. I don't know, depending on how many off days.
They're probably going to win one. They lost last night in extra innings. To go to extra innings with the White Sox, you have to really double down on yourself.
Yeah.
Chicago White Sox X handle, at White Sox, says, "Final, the other team scored more runs than us."
For the 117th time this year.
Oh my God.
They are the butt of every joke in baseball. But, you know, they've got 3 games left at the end of the year, guys, against the Tigers. That's who the Tigers close out the season against, are the White Sox. And so I'm going to tell you something, man. You got to be a big White Sox fan for those final 3 games of the season against Detroit, because if they help us out a little bit, that's a good thing. But by then, I'm sure they're already going to have that record set for the most losses in a season. So, you know what? Lean into it, White Sox. Lose every game from here on out. Be by far the worst team in Major League Baseball.
And if you're having a rough day, just go read all the comments.
But see, that's the thing, in all serious. Like, if you're the White Sox right now, why are you even waiting near social media at this point in time?
Right. I mean, somebody on the response says, "It only took you guys until September 18th to have a little humor, huh?"
Mm-hmm.
Somebody says, "But did you have fun?" Another one says, "Must be a day that ends in Y." And then someone just put, "The admin said," and put a picture of Antonio Brown shirtless running off the field against the Jets. So good, man. I mean,
could you imagine being a player on that team for the entire year and losing 117-plus ball games? My God.
Somebody needs to do some homework in Chicago and go find out how many fans went to more than like 20 games. And then ask them why. Because there used to be like a White Sox fan Back in the day, I think they would sit either behind home plate or behind the dugout, and he wore like the M&M racing jacket.
Was that here? Was that here? No, I'm sorry, not here. Was that Chicago or Detroit?
I thought it was Chicago.
It's one or the other. I can't remember. Both of them have similar looking stadiums. I think it is Chicago. And the guy that dressed like a tiger in the tiger tuxedo, maybe he went to Detroit.
Is the Marlins guy still a thing?
He's going through a little rough right now.
He's
battling some stuff right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Dang. Yeah. Hate that.
And then somebody from our text line, 913-586-7965, says, because the 19-year-old intern still has a job to do. Take the day off and have a good one.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. But seriously, though, if you're the White Sox, man, just stay away from social media. There's nothing to gain from that.
I don't even know why you'd stay away from the games.
Yeah, just don't show up anymore.
Like, stop.
And if you are going to a White Sox game, why?
It's got to be free.
It has to be. Like, how do you justify just the gas to get to a game?
I mean,
the train ticket, or the parking, or however you're getting there, right? Like, maybe you needed a few extra steps, but then you're buying a ticket and you're probably buying something inside. Like, I don't want to hear that you're a big fan and, oh, we're there through the thick and thin. No, you're not. Nobody needs to be there for a team that's losing 117 games. I think somebody said like 2 weeks ago they actually counted the people in the stands and there were like 67 people there.
Oh, that's so sad.
Like, you're losing money just turning the lights on at that place.
That's right. Coming up on the other side, we'll get into a smash or pass. Fesco and Dusty, brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. We get into smash or pass on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. Your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Happy beautiful Thursday afternoon. What?
Morning.
It is
the morning.
Is this the last 90-degree day we have moving forward?
I think tomorrow may be the last one, if I'm not mistaken. And then we get into, like, all next week is supposed to be your typical fall weather, you know, September, October type of weather where it's going to be in the 70s, going to be crisp outside. Maybe some of these allergies will die down. I had to take a Sudafed finally for the first time in a while to try to dry out these sinuses and whatnot. My God, it's been miserable the last couple of weeks.
90 degrees today, 91 on Friday, 87 on Saturday, 86 on Sunday, and then 65, 73, 74, 76, 77. Golf.
And rain. We got rain coming up the next couple of days, right?
Looks like a chance tonight and then Saturday and Sunday as well.
I had to throw the top back on the Bronco. I hope it doesn't rain on Saturday. I'm going to the Baker game on Saturday. They moved that game up to 11 o'clock, my wife said. Like, they're just changing times of games. Like, it was a storm coming because I'm going to the Royals game on Saturday night. You're going out there on Friday night. Mm-hmm. We were just looking at the pitching matchups. Like, Friday and Saturday, I know Q doesn't like to use the term must win. We got 9 games left. Friday and Saturday are must win games for this team because we don't know who's pitching for the San Francisco Giants, or we do, but we never heard of these people. And then on Sunday, it's Blake Snell that's pitching for the San Francisco Giants, a guy that I want pitching in Kansas City next year, wanted him pitching in Kansas City this year for this organization. So, you know, Blake Snell is going to come in here and he's going to perform well. So you got to get these wins, I think, Dusty, on Friday and Saturday, right?
That's right. Big battle on Sunday. Blake Snell and Seth Lugo.
That's right. That's a matchup, man. Mm-hmm. That's a hell of a matchup right there.
Friday night is, I believe, Waka. Saturday is Singer. Sunday is Lugo.
Mm-hmm. Where's your confidence level in Singer? About a 50-50 right now?
Yeah. Ask me that after the first inning.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
It's like watching my buddy play golf. What are these going to shoot today? Let me see his first drive off the tee box and see what his attitude does. That's what I always compare Brady Singer to.
Yeah.
The guy that hits the driver right down the middle, first tee box, and he's like, all right, let's go play, boys. Or if that same guy hits one and shanks to the right, he's like, I'm not pulling the driver out the rest of the day. Round's over.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, it's over mentally.
Yeah. Brady Singer does get out of it mentally fast, man.
He can at times. Smash or pass, Thursday edition. This week's edition is Lay's potato chips.
That's right. Smash.
Yeah. They're bringing back what they call this, their OG flavor.
Yeah, they're calling it the all dressed flavored potato chip from Lay's or Ruffles or, you know, I didn't realize Lay's and Ruffles were the same company, by the way. I had no idea.
TIL.
I mean, 47, almost 48 years old, realizing that Lay's and Ruffles are made by the same company.
So is this a Lay's chip then, or is this...
It's
it says Ruffles. It says limited time Ruffles all dress flavor. Yeah. If you like any of the tangy vinegar based chip flavors like barbecue, salt and vinegar, sour cream and onion, pickle, or even ketchup chips,
which is a Canadian thing. You know, I've seen the ketchup chips in Europe before. I've never seen them here in the United States. It just doesn't sound appealing to me. Right?
It says
Mahomes would like it.
Yeah, these are a must try. I'm not exaggerating when I call this the best chip Frito-Lay has ever made. It's not a gimmick. It's just good. All dressed up is not just a name. These chips literally get dressed with all the flavors. Well, really just four popular flavors: ketchup, barbecue, sour cream, and onion, and salt and vinegar.
I'm out because of the salt and vinegar. I'm not a salt and vinegar chip. Too tangy for me. I'm just not a salt and vinegar
Give me
guy,
a club so. Sub, no onion, Mike's way, add relish, add jalapeno with a side of sweet salt or salt and vinegar chips. That's my meal every time.
The smell of vinegar is one of the worst smells on earth to me. I hate it. Like that malt vinegar.
So you can't eat like Tabasco sauce.
No, I'll eat Tabasco. That's
like
90%
vinegar.
Yeah, I know, but straight vinegar is just like when people put malt vinegar on fish and chips, that makes me want to throw up. The smell of the salt and vinegar potato chips just doesn't do it for me. So I would be out because of that. But if you just had the ketchup, the barbecue, sour cream, and onion kind of mixed in, maybe I would like it.
The resulting flavor is a pleasantly mouth-puckering, tangy, and sweet with a subtle smoky and garlicky note.
Well, you just listed every flavor in the article.
In sort, they are irresistible and possible to stop eating. I suspect I will not be the only one excited about this release. After being introduced to Americans' heart and stomachs in 2015, the chips sadly left shelves in 2021. Since then, there have been many calls for their return on social media, even an entire Reddit threads dedicated to tracking them down stateside. Heck, even Ryan Gosling loves all-dressed chips.
Oh, wow. Loves them. We better get those things here, man.
You buried the lead.
Do us a favor. When you're at Hy-Vee today and you have to go get your little cool air take, because it's going to be 90, you're going to be around a grill, take care of yourself. Go down the chip aisle. Let me see if they're there.
Yes.
I'll Venmo you some money.
Okay. Please.
And we'll bring them in tomorrow and try them on a Friday.
All right. I'll be there.
Because I'm excited.
I'll be there from 11 to 1 at Hy-Vee, 95th and Antioch, $10 steak day. But these are the ones I'm actually excited about. Lay's newest flavor, kettle cooked Cajun spice.
Hello.
Yes. I think the kettle cooked chip, sucker. I will eat the kettle cooked chip, like those Cape Cod chips, I'm in on like
little
that.
Lighthouse,
it's fantastic. Yes. Like that's a chip right there. Those kettle cooked chips, you got those. Let's go. And then you can throw some Cajun spice on top.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, Mrs. Vicky's or whatever. Yeah. Those are those kettle ones too. I like those.
I always thought of like Vicky Vet when I thought of those chips. I'll let you guys search that name in the during the break. That was my first love. Don't do it on your other work computer. It'll crash.
Do not touch the work. You got the cameras up and running. Yeah. We're streaming finally.
Yeah, remember. Yes.
Don't touch a computer in there, all right?
She's a Norwegian princess. I'm down, man. Let's do this real quick. We got a couple minutes. Rank your top three chips of all time.
I think the cheddar and sour cream ruffle is by far the most superior chip out there.
Okay.
I do like sour cream and onion. Okay. Those are good. Barbecue chips are good as well. And like a plain ruffle is fine as well. And that you use the dip for. The other three, you don't need dip. It's got the flavoring on the chip already.
Well, we just found out we're supposed to put French onion dip on our hamburger buns.
I know. That did sound good. Like, I'm like, all right.
Someone also said to bring a steak back to life, use your Blackstone.
Ooh.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
That makes sense.
Medium heat, throw it on there, a little sear, take it off.
Okay.
I would say my top three are the Frito barbecue twist chips. Number two.
Are you talking like all kinds of chips or just
any
potato?
Just any chip.
Because, like, I mean, obviously the Doritos little, up there.
Yeah. I would go barbecue twist. I would go Cool Ranch Dorito.
Yeah.
And then I would go Harvest Cheddar Sun Chip.
Harvest Cheddar Sun Chip is really good. That's a good call.
Those are good sandwich chips, because I always put chips on my sandwich.
I love chips on my sandwich.
Oh, that crunch, baby. Brioche. Yeah.
Gosh, I don't know. This is tough. I think the Sun Chip's going to make it, but I think I'm going to do Garden Salsa.
Sun Chips are good, too.
Love Garden Salsa. I'm going to go...
Get the variety pack.
Miss Vicky's Jalapeno.
Okay.
And then this is a bad one, but I just love it so much. I know you guys are going to dog on it, but like the plain baked Lay's.
I like plain baked Lay's.
Plain baked Lay's.
I was never a fan of the baked chip. It always felt like fake.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
I just wasn't a fan of the baked. I'm like, if I'm going to eat a chip, give me the good stuff. Chili. Remember when they had that Olean and that Olestra and people were crapping out their mouths because they ate all that stuff?
Cheeto Puff or Crunchy Cheetos?
Cheeto Puff.
Soft.
Think I'm crunchy,
yeah.
My dad's a Puff guy, though.
What about What about Flamin' Hot Cheetos? You like those kind of chips?
Oh,
like
God,
the
my sister's obsessed with those.
Ugh.
Every road trip, I'm like, oh, we're in the car for the next 7 hours.
Yeah, but that's like a road trip snack. That and corn nuts. Like, you don't buy that stuff normally.
So
but
true.
you go into a gas station in Oklahoma, you're like, I need corn nuts.
You know what my problem is with trips? I don't know why I do this all the time. I think it's because my dad taught me this. We got the 2-for-1 Planters peanut sleeves.
Yeah.
And I get the hot peanuts and the regular peanuts, and I'd mix them in my hand and eat them. I don't know.
That's a good
mixture,
yeah.
Thanks, Dad.
Are they still 2 for $1, though? I mean, with inflation and whatnot?
Nah, they're 2 for $4.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. Or I get like a thing of sunflower seeds.
Sunflower seeds is another great road trip
type of snack. And then the side of my mouth looks like Norv Turner's face.
Yep, exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, what the hell's going on here? Yeah. Oh, Twizzlers, another good road trip type of snack.
It just tastes like plastic.
Oh, I love a Twizzler. If you put Twizzlers out in front of me, I will eat them until they are gone. I got a problem.
If they're the pull and peel, oh yeah.
Any Twizzlers, the little nib ones too.
What about black Twizzlers? Like black licorice.
I'm not a huge black licorice fan. Okay. I was actually looking up licorice pipes last night because I remember those red licorice pipes. You can find the black ones. You can't find the red ones anywhere. And I'm I don't really want them. But that's a solid, good piece of licorice.
Ruffles sour cream and cheddar, Vicky's jalapeno, Lay's original. Nothing wrong with that.
Nah, that's a good list.
I like a Lay's original.
The problem with Lay's original is that they just crumble in your hands, you know? Nobody putting on the munchos. Is anybody making the muncho list?
No
what
Pringles?
About Pringles?
No. Pringles made the meat. Kettle cooked jalapeno, garden salsa sun chips with a street corn dip, and then burger Doritos. That's my top three.
Burger?
I didn't know that was a thing. Maybe it's Berger Doritos. I don't know.
Or maybe you're talking about like the, is there like a, no, I'm trying to think out loud of like what could be the burger Doritos.
The jalapeno the jalapeno cheddar Cheetos are a sleeper of a chip. Not a lot of people remember those, but the text line did. And it made me think of them as well. I've calmed down. I promise, boys. I've calmed down. I promise, because I'm on camera now. We'll dive back into the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Royals baseball.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.